the president of hockey operations with the New York Islanders. And this is great. We're transitioning right into this, and he's on the line, and we spoke to him a lot over the past few years. Here's Lou Lamoriello. How you doing, Lou?
Very well, thank you, guys. Very well.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. Congrats on the new gig. I got to ask you, I mean, the reports have been out there for a couple of weeks. Have you been uncomfortable with that based on your history of trying to avoid, you know, leaks and stuff getting out into the media? We've been preparing for you to go to the island for a couple of weeks. How have you felt about the reporting and the fact that it's been out there for so long?
Well, obviously, I think you know what I think of that. But unfortunately, in other words, I had no control over it. So, you know, I guess when there are more than one or two people think they know something and then they start rumors, but this wasn't really settled until, you know, most recently. It is what it is. We'll just have to try and correct that, I guess.
Lou, are you going to hit the ground running? What is basically going to be your role, and how active are you going to be in the day-to-day operations?
Well, there's no question that I will be active in the day-to-day initially to try and just educate myself to, you know, as many possible areas that I possibly can. I'm a believer in the little things that would allow the big things to happen or not happen. And I have to find out exactly what the organization is about. I certainly know a lot of the people, but I don't know their inner workings. I don't know their habits. I don't know just how things work. So I'll be redundant in saying that, but that's what I'm going to do. And plus, this is an extremely important time, as you all know, as far as the amateur draft coming up, the combine, the interviews, the pro-scouting meetings with reference to free agency, and also the Islanders have, you know, a good abundance of draft picks, which, you know, you can sometimes put into players. So all of that will be a just heads-on, you know, involvement.
With all those things you just mentioned as far as the Islanders, Lou, where does John Tavares and trying to make sure that he's a part of the organization going forward rank as far as importance?
Well, you know, it's unquestionably as far as how important he is. Anytime you have an elite athlete, your captain, or you know, one of the top players in the National Hockey League, it wouldn't matter what his name was, is that it's invaluable. That's certainly a priority.
With Lou Lamoriello, the new president of hockey operations down in the island, let's look back on the Leafs situation. We had Brendan Shanahan on here in the previous hour and went through the process with him. The initial announcement, there's been a lot that's gone on up here in Toronto over the past month, and you're well aware of it, was the announcement that you would no longer be the GM of the Leafs. Was that something you expected to happen? Were you hoping to stay on as the GM here in Toronto?
You know, I had that same question asked to me earlier today, and when I went to Toronto, I knew exactly what I had agreed to. I had agreed to a contract that I really didn't know what to expect going there. I didn't know I was going in there with pretty much people already in place, you know, as far as, you know, most recently put in place, so whether it be Mike or Mark or Kyle. And so I knew, you know, I had to go in and maybe adjust to how I did things initially and then try and, you know, win their confidence and, you know, work together. So I knew what that was about, but I didn't know how it was going to go. So I had a contract that really was basically for 7 years, two with an option by either me or the organization to make it three, plus 4 or 5, depending upon what decision was at the end, with reference to into an advisory role, you know, but a very fair one. So at the end of the first year, the Maple Leafs extended it to the third, which they had the option to do. So I knew what the contract was, never had any discussions, never looked at it. I don't worry about things I can't control. And when Brendan said that he wanted to stay in the same plan, so be it. I made that decision. I signed the contract. I wasn't, you know, going to look left or right. And, you know, what then transpired, which I didn't really know at the time is that the Islanders had reached out and wanted to speak to me, and it wasn't something I was interested in even thinking about. We had just lost, you know, 7 games of the playoffs, and I'm thinking about something else. And so a week went by, and I don't know where the rhetoric came out, whether somebody said it wasn't, I was into, wasn't, or they were talking, so how the rumors start. And then evidently Scott Malkin called Larry Tannenbaum again, and I felt when I heard that, the respect to talk to him. And then when I met him, after speaking to him on the phone and met him, I was really impressed with his commitment. I mean, they have a state-of-the-art practice facility with two ice surfaces that I'm told by everyone is one of the best. I haven't seen it yet, and this is outside the Islander organization. The commitment to build a new facility, which is there, which will be up in the very near future. I mean, they're going to be breaking ground shortly. And then the last piece, which probably was as important as the first two, is them asking me to come in and have total autonomy over all of hockey operations and make whatever decisions that I felt were necessary to work towards success. And that intrigued me. And the combination of the three and knowing the quality of the ownership that's here and the type of people they are after meeting them, I said, why not? And here I am.
Yeah, there you are. And, I mean, we are always kind of marveling at your work ethic and how you just keep grinding. I mean, you've been in the league for quite some time. You're in your mid-70s, and you continue to seek out these new challenges. I mean, how do you stay so motivated and committed to taking on new challenges like this? I mean, is it something that you just have that passion and you can't even imagine what it would be like to take a step back and not be a prominent member of the National Hockey League?
Well, I think every time I've taken a step back, I've felt that I'm doing the wrong thing. For whatever reason, I feel good. I try and take care of myself, you know, which you drink and sleep right. I think that's the old school. I don't look at the, supplements and all of that. I just try and do that. But unless you felt good and you felt healthy, you can't do this. And I enjoy what I do. And I love the competitiveness of winning. I think that's what, and if that doesn't drive you, I don't know what does. But you have to really have the right type of people you're working with. And that's probably what's kept me going, is that I've been very fortunate to have the type of people that I've worked with throughout the New Jersey organization and then in the Toronto organization. And now I feel the same way with the ownership that's here and giving me the opportunity to almost, you know, go from scratch if necessary. So in saying that, I don't know any other way of putting it. It's still fun.
Lou, do you feel like it's in your 3 years here that it was kind of mission accomplished for the Toronto Maple Leafs from when you took over to when your departure was?
Well, you'd have to decide that. I think that the outside is a better evaluator of what transpired. But what I can say is that Brendan gave me complete autonomy to do what was necessary to have success. I didn't have to worry about, you know, anything that I needed to do, and any resource was given to me by ownership. I had a tremendous working relationship with, in my opinion, with Mike and his staff and Kyle and the Mollies and Mark and the scouting staff. All talented individuals, good at what they do. And we found a way to really enjoy each other and working towards having success. No one really got in anyone else's way, but, you know, really took the role that they had and worked it to the maximum, and we found a way to put it together. So I think the future is extremely bright. I think that, you know, with the improvements that we were able to make, I think, and remember, you guys were there. We went through some 50 players the first year to find out really who wanted to be a Maple Leaf and mm-hmm. what that culture was going to be about. And the players that are there, I think, believe in it, thrive on it. And there are some outstanding young players that want to be good. So the future is extremely bright.
Well, with Lou Lamorello, you mentioned your working relationship with all the members of the organization, which included Kyle Dubas. And when you came on, I believe you said, I'm paraphrasing, but if Kyle isn't the GM in the future, it's basically his fault. You know, I'm here to do my thing, but you're going to mentor him, and you gave him the opportunity to run the Marlies organization, and now he is your successor. Based on your relationship with Dubas, based on what you've seen out of him for 3 years, why do you believe he's going to be successful, or do you believe he's going to be successful as a GM?
Well, first of all, he's a very intelligent young man. He loves the game. He works at it. He is detailed, spends the time necessary. And I think that from the day I got there, I think that what he's gained the most is the experience that's needed in how you interact with the different people in different departments, and how you have to sometimes take a step back, allow them to do what they do, and guide and direct and work with them. And I think the first year was a little bit different for him, and maybe difficult. I don't know. But he had to go through some things. But I can tell you the relationship and the interaction. I spoke to Kyle as recently as yesterday, and actually the personal friendship that was created, which I think is necessary to have success, but it separates when you have to do your job and you have to work and get to it. You have to separate those two. And just a little tidbit, I told him I'm going to get his little guy, Leo, to be a Yankee fan. I sent him all Yankee stuff since to get rid of the Blue Jay stuff.
No, you can't do that, Lou. Yeah, that's not allowed, and you know that.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm trying. But yeah. That just a little show you the relationship. But same thing with Mark Hunter, the relationship that we have and still continue and will have, and Mike Babcock and the staff. I think that that's necessary. So I think that that's a culture. That's what is necessary. And you asked me the question about Kyle. I think he'll do an outstanding job.
Yeah, I don't think you'll take this personally. I think a lot of people in Toronto are hoping maybe he fleeces you on a trade or two in the next couple of years. But I'm sure you're not prepared to do that. So enjoy yourself down in New York. Congrats on the new deal. And keep in touch. I'm sure we'll catch up again down the road.
Great. Jamie and Jeff, thanks for all the things that you guys did, and I really appreciated it. I guess you thought you'd get rid of me, and then here I am today.
Yes. Oh, we can never get rid of you, Lou.
Lou, I got to ask you one last question. What restaurant is going to be feeling the loss of Lou Lamorello the most in Toronto?
Soto.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
I knew
that's
it.
My
I
favorite.
Knew it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, it's funny you asked that question because you knew the answer before you asked it.
You're right.
You
I
must,
did.
You must have a promo going or something with me.
I'm trying.
Yeah, yeah, leading the witness. We were well aware of the answer. Thank
all
you,
right,
Lou.
Guys. Thanks.
There's Lou Lamorello, the president of hockey operations with the New York Islanders.